It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
What's up, guys? We are the Uncle Puckers. Thank you for checking us out. I'm Chris with Bobby, Dan, and Tony. And thanks for checking us out on the Hockey Podcast Network, where we are now part of, which has been pretty cool so far. So thank you guys so much for checking us all out. What's up, boys?
What's going on?
How are we doing?
I was just thinking, actually, if one of us passed away or something, how are we going to edit that intro? Our name to where our names are placed. I don't know why that just popped into my brain, but as we're hearing, you know.
He's just going to lie about it and say that he went away for a little. He's on vacation, you know.
Keep the name as like a tribute, right? And we can't get rid of the guy.
No, we just replace whoever dies with somebody
just
else.
Just go find another Bobby.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
We just
exactly.
Go find someone. We're not.
I got one lined up for you.
We're not going to change the fucking intro just because one of us dies. Come on. That's
or
way
leaves.
Too much work.
Yeah,
or leaves. You know, Bobby, you keep threatening it. We might just X you out of here.
Bobby, so. If the intro starts and your name's not in it, we forget to tell you.
Oh, I see. It'll be a shock.
I think we do have one with just three of us.
We do. Me, you, and Bobby. And then,
is that what it was?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah. So we have
is that the these three guys?
Yeah.
These three guys. New Jersey Devils.
Three fucking idiots.
These bleeding guys.
Let's not use that one.
I don't have that one anymore.
That's good.
We just stick with Danico.
Yeah.
So you guys have any plans this weekend? Any good stuff going on?
I'm headed to
Music Fest.
You're going to Latvia?
In 3 hours. I'm heading right when the show's over.
Aren't you already in Latvia? Where are you?
No.
Where are you? It's not Latvia? I was confused.
The other Baltic country that starts with an L.
Louisiana?
Louisiana.
Lestonia.
Yeah. We're heading to Riga tomorrow with the kids, so that's our weekend plans.
What do you do in Latvia for fun? What happens
there? That's a good question.
I've never been. This is my first time. I've actually never been there, so it's like 3 hours away. It's like
a Latvian virgin.
Yeah,
the hockey team had an impressive run this year, didn't they? You know.
How about you, B? What are you doing this weekend?
We have a little local music fest tomorrow, a little all day, all night kind of thing. Food vendors, tons
Village
of bands.
People.
Sounds like fun, yeah. They're highlighting, of course.
Nice.
Yeah, good time.
And you got anything nice planned, Dan?
No, I've got to go to a some kind of memorial, so it's not a fun time.
No, it's not. It's not. I have to work. That's not fun either, but I'd rather be working than going where you're going.
Hey, Bobby, I was going to ask you really fast. You brew beer, right? You do that actively?
Oh, yes.
Nice. Well, no, what do you do, like just brew one kind or do you have several kinds?
Oh, no, I'll try everything. I've got some that I prefer to do. But.
So can we make a Uncle Pucker branded beer?
Sure.
All right. And we got to call it something other than just the Uncle Pucker.
And hot sauce, Chris. Yeah. And hot sauce.
And hot sauce.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? What do we name our beer? We'll think about that.
We can get the name. We can have the listeners help us with that.
I like it.
Style. Take a little bit from all different people. We can make a little game out of it.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah. All right. That'd be awesome. Maybe we'll run a little contest and we'll see a listener that wins. And then we can, you know, drink the beer and tell them how good it tastes.
Yeah. So don't you wish you had this beer?
Exactly.
And then when it's really, really good and maybe we get a local sponsor or two down in Jersey, we bring the recipe to them. We have them scale it up and we have a party.
We'll call it foreplay, right? That's what we're doing. Foreplay. Playing for our fourth Stanley Cup. Foreplay.
That's right. That's good.
The Uncle Pucker foreplay beer.
Sounds good.
Programming note, next week, the Uncle Puckers will be interviewing Mr. Jim Dowd from Brick, New Jersey. For any youngins that are not familiar with Mr. Dowd, he was the first ever player drafted to the NHL, born in New Jersey. Played his high school career in Brick, New Jersey, was a part of the 1995 Stanley Cup champion team. First New Jersey Devil player to have his, or New Jersey native, to have his name etched in Lord Stanley's Cup. Man scored the game-winning goal, Game 2, in the 1995 Finals against the Red Wings. So, yeah, we will be interviewing him. So, guys, anybody listening, any questions that you have for Jim Dowd, we will be more than happy to ask him when we interview him. Send any questions to UnclePuckers@gmail.com, and we will make sure to give you a shout-out and ask Jim your question. So that'll be up next week sometime, and just wanted to give the little programming.
Very exciting.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I'm really looking forward to it.
If you look at how many games he played, too, I mean, the guy played 720-something games.
Oh, he was like, in the league, what, 18 years? 17 years?
Yeah, I mean, he's flipped some teams and stuff. But, Jim, you know, he's spent a lot of time in the NHL. And that's definitely exciting to have him on.
You know, anybody that can grind out a 17-year career as a, you know, bottom six grinder like he did, I mean, you did your job well.
There's a lot to that, right? Because seriously, I mean, the shelf life of most people just in terms of years is nowhere near that. And then when you put him in the role that he had to play, and this is a kid that came out, like, he was a scoring machine, right? Like, we've talked about this before. How do you adjust to the NHL because you want to stay there? Talk about a guy who figured out how to stay there. 17 years?
Yep.
It's insane.
So we're really looking forward to chatting with him.
You know, imagine the stories he has too, because you know he was in the locker room when they won the cup with Brodeur, Stevens, Lemieux, the guys that he was part of on that team, the flights that they must have taken during those playoffs. Like, this is the kind of stuff that I'm kind of hoping that we hear a lot about, because this is the stuff I've always wondered about. You know, like, how, imagine that you're flying on this plane and think of all the teammates, that roster, the guys that were on that team. Yeah. It's just, I mean, a Randy McKay sitting next to a Broughton by a Lemieux. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, it was a hell of a team, and we can ask them all about it next week when we interview them. So, again, anybody had any questions for Mr. Dowd, UnclePuckers@gmail.com. So I got a quick question for you. I was listening to Hockey State of Mind, our friend of the show, Neil Valapiano.
Neil, yeah.
Yeah, his show, also on the Hockey Podcast Network. And he was doing a Q&A with some fans, and somebody had asked him a question. And I want to just pose the question to you guys and get your opinion. The question was, you have to start, sit, or cut. Okay? These players.
I thought you said shart.
I think I sharted.
That was during the recording.
Start, that's in the devil you know. The shart, okay. Shart, sit, or cut. And it was Jack Hughes. Right. Patrick Elias in his prime, or Scott Stevens in his prime. We'll start with Dan. Who do you shart?
You start all of
who
them.
Who do you shit?
What team do you not cut? Put all of them?
Yeah, of course. That's what makes it hard, Dan.
But that's part of the exercise. Shart, shit, or cut.
What team would I have to make this horrible choice? Like,
Dan, it's a
fantasy draft.
Game.
Just answer the question.
All right. So, marry, fuck, kill. Is that what we're playing here?
Except it's shart, shit, or cut.
Okay. All right. In their prime. Oh boy.
Tone,
this
you want
tough.
To jump on
this
it?
Tough.
Yeah, I can start, man. I'm going to sit Jack, and I love Jack, but you know what? I got
you're
some cups
sit
with
him?
The other guys. I got cups with the other guys already, so what do they always say? If you know you're going to get a cup, you're going to make some sacrifices. So,
Somebody said that?
Man. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? You got to like. With Scott Stevens, how do you sit Scott Stevens? I mean,
okay, so you shart Scott Stevens, or you shart Patrick Elias?
Stevens.
What about it? You shart him, yeah. And you're gonna shart Stevens. You're gonna shit.
Yes.
Who? Oh.
I'm so confused.
I'm so fucking confused. Right. I'm like, am I flying that high? Yeah. Jack Hughes. I'm gonna sit. I'm gonna speak in this terminology.
Okay, yeah, speaking that.
And
right
you're
way.
Cutting Elias. Is that what you're saying?
I can't do any of this. Like, how do you do any of this? Do you know?
Nothing. I can't do it.
Yeah, choose your mom or your dad. You know, unless you're Menendez, that's a bad choice.
It's easier than this. The Sophie's choice of hockey.
But yeah, that's my. I would have to start Stevens.
I have to agree with you. I go Stevens.
I would start Stevens.
And I sit Hughes and I cut Elias.
I don't know if I that's tough. That's a 50-50 then, but I definitely got to start Stevens because he also was a captain that, you know, like a super leader on a team, the captain of captains, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I think you start. That's the only reason I could put him in one category over the other two. The other two, I mean, Jack's got a lot of talent. I totally get it. It depends on the era I'm playing. So many other things. It's like a 50-50.
See,
yeah.
What do you got, Bob?
I mean, I think we all agree on one thing, and that's we're starting Scott Stevens. So that's pretty cool to see before us. The other two, it's really difficult. So I want to know, like, in their prime, right? So far, I guess prime is what Jack did last year.
Yeah.
And Eliash, we know what he's done in his prime. Only lost to Jack by 1 point. Is this a playoff game? Is this a game seven? Like, I need to know this because I'm leaning towards – and I know you say, like, oh, my God, you're going to cut Jack. Well, I don't know what Jack's going to become.
They didn't specify if this was a game of seven or any game. It's just a simple.
If I have a must-win game and I'm taking somebody in a prime, I'm not cutting Patrick Eliash.
He's clutch.
So I have, in this scenario, this stupid scenario, I have to cut Jack Hughes because I've seen more of what Eliash does in the clutch.
Wow.
That's it. Now, I got to take him.
Now, he's on waivers now, and somebody's going to just rip him off your roster?
Pick him up. Now, God. I start Scott Stevens only because I feel like Scott Stevens would have been dominant in any era. I really do. I mean, this guy, yes, he was, you know, hit like a ton. He played great defense, but he also put up points, you know, early in his career. You're talking about a guy that in his career has had, I'll go 65, 61, 72, 68, 78. Like, these are a little earlier in his career, and when he came to Jersey, he had to kind of take on a different role, and he did it fantastic, and he didn't complain, and all he did was win three cups for it. But the man could put up points if he needed to. Yeah. He played great defense, and especially in that era from, let's say, 1994 to, you know, 2000, early 2000, you know, 6-7. Him and Steve Yzerman had to have been the two best captains in the NHL. I mean, Scott Stevens was a leader. Patrick Eliash was great, very clutch. But in this scenario, I just think Jack Hughes hasn't even hit his ceiling yet. And, you know, if Jack can get a 20-year career in New Jersey, he'll crush all of Patrick Eliash's numbers, and hopefully we'll have a couple of cups to go with it.
Dawned on me. My answer doesn't even make sense because I'm basing it on the fact that it's a must-win game, but I'm still sitting Eliash.
Yeah, you're right. Playing. He's not playing.
I'm taking Stevens.
Yeah. He's on your team, but you didn't dress him.
Yeah.
Well, he's a healthy stretch.
I'm going to stick with Eliash so when we get him on the show, I could say I'm the only pucker who did that. So I can one-up, you know, Dan's putting Oliwa on his team.
That's right.
Okay. When we get Stevens on, then we can all talk about
we can all talk about that.
But that's why I would take Stevens. I just think Stevens was just an amazing leader.
I agree.
And the reason that I keep Jack as well is because they're both instrumental in changing the direction of this franchise in different eras. Jack's doing it right now. Scott did it. Stevens did it back in the 90s and completely changed this franchise.
Eliash led the team in offense for over a decade. He did it too.
I'm not going to ever say anything negative about Eliash. I'm saying just for this exercise.
What don't you like about Eliash, Chris?
Well, first of all, I hate him. I don't like his glasses.
They make his ass. I love his glasses.
They make his ass look fat.
You know what he looks like? He looks like what's the X-Men character? Beast guy or whatever, when he wears his glasses.
Professor X?
Yeah, he's just wearing them to make himself look more, professorial. You know, I don't know if he really needs them.
You think that they're fake glasses?
I don't know. I think it just goes with the whole look. I'd like to see his prescription.
Now you're picking on his eyes.
Yeah.
Weird, man.
I've seen him shoot. He didn't have bad eyes at all.
And next week, after we do the Dowd interview, we are interviewing Patrick Eliash's optometrist. Where we will discuss. All right.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. Investigative journalism by Uncle Puckers. Man.
You know, and another thing with Stevens, though, too, is that Stevens had such a presence on the ice that he changed the way people skated. They had to, like, watch for him like a shark.
Yeah.
I just thought.
Yeah, it was like a shark. You're right. Yeah, it's like swimming with a freaking shark.
Yeah.
Also, his glasses frame choice was much more conservative than Patrick Eliash.
This is true.
Well, Jack doesn't even wear glasses. Cut him. Cut him. Can't trust him. He doesn't have any glasses.
What if he has contacts?
I doubt it.
I doubt it. All right, fair enough. So we got a fun show tonight. We got a Devil You Know. Tony's got a whole bunch of news and all, I guess, a couple of other things. But before we jump into that, we're going to just do a little shout out to our Hockey Podcast Network sponsors. So let's just roll through those.
Yay.
Chris here for Raycon Wireless Earbuds. Now, we've all been there. You pay an arm and a leg for a pair of premium earbuds, only to find that the only thing premium about them was their price. That's why the Uncle Puckers only use Raycon wireless earbuds. Whether you're relaxing at the beach, listening to your favorite summer playlist, or catching up with your favorite hockey podcast at the gym, Raycons are the best way to listen. Raycons have tap functions to easily toggle between three customizable sound profiles like noise isolation and awareness mode. They come with custom gel tips for the most comfortable in-ear fit. A 32-hour battery life, including 8 hours of playtime, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. And they start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And with a 30-day happiness guarantee, you really can't lose. So what are you waiting for? Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, Uncle Pucker listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/THPN. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/THPN. The Uncle Puckers is brought to you in part by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700 on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. In West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Max bet $50. 10 plus leg required for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Remember, bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code THPN.
Chris, can you play that again? I missed some of it.
Yeah, we'll go through that one. Yeah. So thank you to Raycon and DraftKings, nice sponsors for us here on the Hockey Podcast Network. So
my Raycon stayed charged for all 32 hours of that commercial.
I love that. I do love those gel tips.
Yeah,
I bet you do.
You fit anywhere.
Wait, that's for your ears, right?
Oh, they're supposed to go in your ears?
God damn it. No wonder why the wife is laughing at me.
So, Dan, you want to do Devil You Know? Want to bang that out?
Let's do it.
You ready?
I am ready.
All right.
Shall we play a game?
Buckle up, boys and girls. It is time for the Devil You Know on the Uncle Pucker New Jersey Devil Podcast.
That should be the buzzer, man. I don't know.
It really is a wonderful fart. So we're going to play the Devil You Know. Today, Dan will give us clues of a former New Jersey Devil player. Myself, Tony, and Bobby will get to answer. We get three incorrect answers before we are eliminated. We can ask Dan any question we want. He can or cannot answer. It is completely up to him. And so far, Tony is in a major lead. I can actually you guys want to know how many he's killing us. But the last couple we had was Rocky Trottier, Joe Neuwendijk, Pascal Riome, a whole bunch of other guys. But today, Dan will ask the questions. So, Dan, whenever you are ready, brother.
All right. This former devil co-owns a pizzeria with another former devil in Montreal. So,
I have a
pizzerias in Montreal.
I have a guess.
Do it.
Marty Brodeur.
But this is where you. There you go. All right. I thought, there it is.
I thought he didn't want to press the button because
it was his answer.
Well, so I agree. He definitely did or does, but I knew it couldn't be Marty Brodeur.
I'll be honest. I don't know if you noticed. I kind of struggled to give you the thumbs down because he's the co-owner with this former devil. So you're not wrong.
Okay. So it's with this guy. Okay.
Yeah. I got Marty you. Is one of the other owner. Three-person owning team here. The right. third one, I guess, actually knows the business of pizzerias, I hope.
Not a hockey player.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So let's see. This player, he has earned over $47 million over the course of his career. I don't know if that helps you at all.
You guys,
$47 million?
Perspective, sure.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, gives you an idea at least on longevity or contract amount or some mix there.
Okay.
You got to do some math there, figure it out. Any guesses yet?
Well, real quick. But this yeah. guy, he played with Marty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay.
So you have an era there that mm-hmm. will help you. He was drafted, fairly low in the first round. And that was in 94.
Drafted
by New Jersey. Yeah.
Okay.
He's been to the All-Star game 3 times in his career.
Wow.
First instance was 2004. Last was 2009.
Is this guy also from Montreal? Is he a native of Montreal as well? He's not.
Well, that's the buzzer sign that you asked for. But yes, I could answer verbally too.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah, no, so he's not from Montreal. Okay.
He is not from Montreal. He's a native though of Canada.
Okay. Just
of Alberta, not from the Quebec province, but Alberta. So there you go. There's another clue. So this man is from Alberta. Let's see. He is known for marrying and, you know, subsequently divorcing, no big deal. A former Baywatch actress or from an actress from the
Sheldon
show.
Sheldon
Surrey?
No.
Yes, Tony.
Sheldon Surrey?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Come on,
that's
man.
Insane. That's insane that you got that from that
clue. It was the Baywatch thing. He was on one of those hockey podcasts a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And nothing, no little tidbit has ever eluded Tony. Yes.
You just happened to be listening to a podcast 3 months ago.
Sheldon
Surrey.
How many Baywatch podcasts do you listen to?
Yeah, you know, everybody knows that.
Sheldon
Wait,
Surrey.
Do you know her name, too? Like, how much do you know? Because I didn't recognize her name,
it?
Tony.
Who is it?
I don't know her name. I just know Sheldon
Surrey. I can't
Surrey
remember now.
Known.
I didn't write it down, but I didn't recognize it. It wasn't
Sheldon
Pamela
Surrey
Anderson.
Sheldon Surrey was known as, like, a ladies' man. Like, he was one of those guys on the team. And I remember listening to an interview they were talking about. This guy was, like, you know.
Yeah,
I think it was the strict
Chris, do they have any Rain Men in Minnesota, or is it more evenly matched out there?
Was he married to Barbie Blank or Angelica Bridges?
Bridges, yeah.
That was his wife?
That
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it didn't. They do have 2 children together. He's currently He's currently dating a model who's in Maxim and other places, so. You know, he does all right for himself.
He's
guy.
A dog.
He's like a one. I was going to get. I should have done this one first. I don't know if this would have gave it away for Tony. I don't know how up you are in your First Nations tribes, but he's originally from. He considers his ancestry some called the Métis people.
Yeah, okay. I don't think Tony would have gotten that. The Baywatch thing, he fucking gets.
That was safe. Yeah, exactly.
It's a he hockey also, podcast, man.
And, you know, I was going to get to after this, and I think you guys would have got it. He was particularly known for his really hard slap shot.
Slap shot, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a giveaway for Sheldon Surratt. He actually, in the 04 All-Star game, won the skills competition, or at least tied Adrian O'Coin for a number – for the win on the hardest slap shot.
Yeah.
Okay. And
he's with Montreal too. He played with Edmonton, yep. Right?
He did. He played with the Oilers in Montreal, but he plays with the Devils the longest. He still holds some records, most power play goals in a season by a D-man in 06-07. Now, if that was subsequently broken, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I got to look it up. I don't remember. I want to say it was like 17 or something like that.
Wow.
I can look it up again, but it was a lot, and it's possible it was broken. I don't know. But that was actually league-wide, which is pretty amazing.
I like Sheldon Surrey.
Yeah, he's really – he was a fun player to watch. Yeah. Big guy, 6'4", 240, something like that. In fact, he's also famously known for coming to training camp. I guess you would say fat and overweight. And Lou Lamoriello teared him up, brand new asshole. And nice. He credits this as like, all right, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have made it. If somebody just – let me go, you know, through emotions for a season or two out of shape. He took that to heart, and he, you know, took his physicality at much more serious because of that. Yeah, it's pretty interesting to look up some of the stuff here on him. He's actually, you know, been giving speeches and stuff on sobriety. That's where he's at these days, and he's doing
that's
well.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
and cool. Does a lot of charity golf stuff like that. So it was interesting for me to catch up with what he's been doing.
Good job, guys.
I
like it too, Dan. Hey, do you have the points, Chris? You have the totals here?
I can clock. I'll pull them up in a minute.
Can we have a league for just a non special autism?
Making Tony the permanent clue
handicapping him. Man.
Yeah,
a little bit of a trapezoid for Tony. Maybe he can't guess till like the fifth or sixth clue. Just at least give us schmucks like a minute.
How about
to digest this?
We only give Tony one incorrect answer before he's eliminated.
If he's willing to do this for season two, I think it's a good idea.
I think he's got to spell the name one letter at a time in order to get the win. If any of us guess quicker, then
Tony, you could sit out season two and probably still come out top on the lead.
Yeah, he's definitely
with the three
got
of us
lead.
Going. So,
I mean, I do have a couple of cool little numbers, little number game. We got
okay.
a couple, 19 guys. The number is 19. That's the number of days until rookies report to camp. We are 19 days away.
Less than 20.
We are 31 days away.
Time to my drop in, Dan.
31 days away until our first preseason game. That's it, man. That's 31 days.
Here, Chris, actually, you're not because where I'm at now, you're actually 30 days away. So wherever you guys are, I'm 1 day ahead.
Yeah, but we're...
That's
we're...
how he's getting all the answers.
I see what happens here.
He's listening to the show before we fucking do it.
Why do you live in a time-warping... I don't get it. That's not fair.
How about this one? I heard this today. 47 years ago today, the Kansas City Scouts moved to Colorado and hence began the journey of the New Jersey Devils, and that was 47 years ago today.
Oh, crazy.
And the
happy
best
anniversary.
The best number of them all is 48, and that's the number of days until game one of this season. That's it, guys.
Good numbers there.
48 days away. We're almost there.
There we go.
Let's go.
I cannot wait. I am too. Really looking forward to preseason two. Really looking forward to this camp and seeing what guys show up and make an impression.
I like preseason too. Of all the sports, it's the only one that I just kind of I like to watch and take something from it. If they go 0-6, I don't care. If they go 6-0, I'm elated. But I do like to watch it. I do find some entertainment value in there, and I like to see what's going on with who's surprising the team. You know, if there's a camp invite or a young kid we're not even talking about. So right. Yeah, I find it pretty exciting.
Yeah, I feel like every season there's one person you had no idea that was not on anyone's radar going in the talking in the like we are now about all this who's going to make the team, who's not, and somebody's going to surprise you. It always is somebody that we're not talking about this time of year who just makes it.
That's plus, I'm a Mets fan, so I'm usually dying for anything else to come on. So preseason works.
We got 2 weeks from this Sunday is NFL, so
yes.
We can kick off there and. Yeah, that's going to be heartbreaking at some point throughout the season. I know that. No matter how it goes, it will end badly. Yeah. So it will end badly. So yeah, that kind of sucks. But I'm really looking forward to this preseason. Guys, how come nobody has signed Tatar yet? What the hell is going on there? Is he looking for too much money? Is it just nobody's interested? I mean,
I saw I saw like a flash card of his stats for the last 4 years. Very consistent. Yeah. 20 goal range, like puts up, 20 goals, 40 plus points. I don't know, man.
In this case, he wants a certain length contract, and that's the hold up. He doesn't want a chance moving around again in a year or two. He wants something longer term.
I thought a team like Chicago would be perfect for him. You're bringing in a guy like Bedard. They're not going to be very good, but you do need those veteran guys to show him the way. And Tomas Tatar was great with the young guys for his years in New Jersey.
He's a solid player, too.
Yeah.
He's a productive player. Like, he's good player.
I don't know why nobody has signed this dude yet.
And they will. There's no way this guy sits out of the game. No, he's just too good for that.
It's mind-boggling, though.
I'll tell you who's happy is the Sherwood Sticks. They got, I guess Bedard signed his contract with them. So that stick company should be selling a shitload of sticks this next season because they're really going to market that dude.
When do we play Chicago? Don't we play them kind of early on in the season? That game I'm definitely am interested in. I am so curious to see how Connor Bedard does. I'm pretty sure we play them our first time. I think it's pretty early on in the season, like within the first 15 or games or so. I could be fucking wrong. I don't know.
The hell did it go?
Where are you looking? Right now. Bobby, you're going to the first game, right? I'm checking right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bobby going to – that's the Wings, right?
Yeah.
November 5th, we play Chicago.
Sunday
at 7 p.m.
That's going to be fun.
Good.
Mark
that. Connor's down. Yeah. A lot of Connors out there these days. You notice that?
Yeah, too many.
This is definitely a generational name. They're all over the place.
Yeah, it is. I don't like the name.
I mean,
I'd like to have a couple Connors on our team, though. I take a Connor.
Makes me think of John Connor from Terminator, and that's not so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sarah Connor. That's what I think of.
Sarah Connor, yeah.
Linda Hamilton. The Hockey Podcast Network put out the stats about the likelihood of the Calder Trophy.
I did not notice that.
No, what put out?
I got Bedard first, of course, followed closely by our boy Luke Hughes, the over-under. So it's minus 140 for Bedard, and then goes to plus 600 for Hughes, but he's number two.
You know,
so those are the odds.
I like Hughes' chances. Do they really go for the D-men when it comes to awards like that, though? Like,
not usually, typically not. But Connor Bedard shits the bed. It looks like it's Luke Hughes is going to do it.
Yeah, you got to do some special stuff as a D-man, which Hughes can do.
Yeah. I think the three guys that are going to be up for the Calder are going to be Fantilli, Hughes, and Bedard.
Fantilli, on this list, anyway, is number four at plus 1,000.
Oh, wow.
Logan Cooley's above him at plus 900.
Forgot about Logan Cooley.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just finish off the list for you. Devin Levi, plus 1,200. He's number five. Matthew Nyes, plus 2,500. Number six. Number seven is David Juracek, also plus 2,500. So is Brant Clark at eight. Shane Wright at plus 3,000. I guess they're considering him a rookie still, right?
I guess.
And Luke Evangelista, plus 3,000 as well.
I don't know who that is.
Number 10. Me neither. So, but hey, good to see our boy getting some love.
Absolutely.
The odds makers.
Absolutely.
Go, Chris.
No, go.
Did you guys see the projected 2025 roster for the USA team? I know we were talking about that early, about wanting to see the three Hughes brothers on there.
Well, now that they now announced that there will be more international play, probably minus Russia's involvement, but I am so excited at the possibility of all three Hughes brothers playing together. Like Quinn and Luke on 1D pairing, and then Jack just centering the second or third line would just be so freaking cool.
A possibility, but it could be considered likely.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you have to put the Hughes brothers on the same defensive pairing, but why wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course you have to.
You know what I mean?
You have to. Yeah. You know, if you have them both, you have to. And what's their lines? What do they got?
I think it's Bleacher Report was projected 2025 roster, and they had Tkachuk with Matthews and Tkachuk, so Brady, Matthew, and Austin.
This was line one?
Yeah, line one. For line two, they had Jason Robertson, Jack Hughes, and DeBrinket. For line three, they have Kyle O'Connor, Eichel, Keller on that line. So, and the fourth line, they have Gesell, Thompson, and Caulfield on that line.
I think that's a terrible lineup. I think we lose to the Canadians if we put that lineup on the ice.
And that's what they have for that. And then for they have Quinn Hughes with Adam Fox.
We usually do that.
Yeah, but this time around, we should have a better team than Canada, especially when it comes to goaltending. But let's go through the D-lines.
So D-lines, you got Hughes and Adam Fox. Quinn Hughes, though.
Yeah.
Jacob Slavin and Charlie McAvoy.
Okay.
On the second, and then you're going with Zach Werenski and John Carlson.
Okay. I can live with the D. I don't think DeBrinket should be on that team. I don't think who else was go to the forwards again.
Okay, so I got Tkachuk on the first line, Matthews and Tkachuk. So Brady, okay. Austin.
Austin Matthews and the Tkachuks are both going to be on the team. Well, I don't know if I would have both Tkachuks on the first line, but go ahead.
Robertson, Hughes, DeBrinket.
I feel like you need a little more flash on that line.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I don't like DeBrinket at all on there. Go ahead.
And then you got Connor, Eichel, and Keller.
I mean, I like Connor. I like Eichel, Keller. I mean, I think we can find some better players. Who else? The fourth line.
Gesell, Thompson, and Caulfield.
Are you looking to
Have Gesell on there at all.
Would you take some players who maybe have defected? Like maybe Shesterkin wants to defect from Russia, and he could be our goalie.
Well, I think our goalie
the goalies? Yeah.
Wait, let me guess. Can I guess? Because yes. I think there's only two American goalies you can possibly have, right? It's got to be Hellebuck and Ottinger.
They're on there, and there's one more, and it's a Chris guy, someone that Chris has been blowing a horn about.
Swayman?
Yes.
Nice.
That's good. Yes.
I like that.
Swayman. So that's the three goalies.
Do they have the coach?
No coach, no.
Because John Cooper was supposed to coach the Olympic team.
No coach. What are they going to do? Just skate in circles?
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Some players to defect. They really should come from the forwards.
Didn't Brett Hull defect from Canada to play for Team USA?
Sure did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That stuff happens.
Did they have the Canadian lineup
for that?
No, just the USA one I saw today.
Nice. I think we might find some Russians if they're not playing.
It's time to work around that.
Yeah, I'll play for America today.
I mean, I kind of
their government would like it, but if they're not going to play, they'll be like, yeah, why not? They should. All of Russia should like go in as like Trinidad and Tobago, and just don't tell anybody, you know, like just see what happens. And you know, this way, you give the medal to those guys and the nation of Trinidad and Tobago, and nobody suffers. You know, Russia can like say, okay, we didn't get the medal that year. We were really Trinidad and Tobago, but you know. That's going to be the rules. They'll have to live with it.
Their news will be all bullshit anyway, because that whole media cycle there is just – they just run like whatever
they want. Well, they don't even have to play. Yeah. They'll tell everybody that they won the gold medal.
They don't have free press. I know.
Them and North Korea are the champions. That's how it always goes.
Whatever you do, you're going to hear
– yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to hear like Putin's like exact response, you know. It's the guy who, you know,
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to the plane.
Yeah. But it's just coming out of like a news person's mouth. But, oh, yeah, the plane?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, must have ran into a missile or something.
It ran out of gas. That's
The missile is just minding its own business. And then
just plane just went into
it. Yeah, they fly like 800 miles an hour right into the side of a missile. And that's dangerous.
Yes, it's dangerous. Yeah.
You know what's also dangerous? You know,
crossing Vladimir Putin?
Yes, exactly. That's pretty dangerous.
Do you feel unsafe now?
Oh, I could give a fuck. You know, he's not going to waste his time on us. And but those people were.
Tomorrow, he's got his headphones on. He's like, those fucking uncle fuckers.
Yeah. We have way more reach than I realized. I've been murdered by the Russians. Yeah.
Dan gets in his car, he blows it up.
It blows up. It's just like, yeah.
Next day, Vladdy's like, I don't know what happened.
That is a very...
It's like Godfather. I pull the car around.
I have a very good chance of that happening to me, but Mike cuts my car's a piece of shit. not because of anything Putin.
I'm going to blame Putin if it happens. I'll tell you that right now.
And then you could just cut me out of the intro and find another Chris, exactly, and you're all set.
Exactly. It's a very popular name. We're going to be okay.
The rest of us will be doing free commercials for Vladimir Putin at that point, too. We'll be scared shitless.
Someone else,
you know who's a good guy, guys? You know who should play in every position on every All-Star team? Vladimir Putin.
He's the Uncle Puckers here for Vladimir Putin.
Do you guys, does the world need another ruler? Yes, it does. Vladimir Putin.
Who doesn't love a strong man?
They did this hockey game, right? For, I don't know what it was, some Russian hockey game.
And they let him fucking score all the time.
He scored like 16 goals.
The goalies jump out of the way.
It's the same thing as when Elvis did karate. Remember when Elvis did karate? And he's throwing people around like he's Bruce Lee? Bullshit. They were like stuntmen just flying in every direction. I'm sure Putin was the same thing.
But you know what happens is this guy, Putin's doing the victory lap around, right? And this guy has a fucking red carpet laid out, right? The guy doesn't lay it out right, I guess. And Putin, if this is not, you go on YouTube, you can see this. Putin flies and runs his face into the ground.
Oh, my God.
The guy who had the carpet job, you never fucking saw him again.
No, he's done. Could you imagine that? Yeah.
He probably, like, made him, like, sit, like, tied up under a carpet for until he was dead, and had, like, all his friends dance. He had a party on, like, some kind of weird super evil villain death, you know? Like, either Kim Jong-un blew somebody up on a... I'm sure Putin does weird stuff like that with guys he can get away with it.
If you're Putin, you come up with crazy ways to assassinate people.
Yeah, sure.
But just imagine, right? You're the dude who... he trips over the carpet. You're looking... I mean, you're just fucking like shit yourself.
Oh, I just had my whole family murdered.
Right, exactly.
How was work today? I got us all killed. We're all going to be dead in about an hour.
What do you want for dinner?
Work was awful, honey. Let me tell you how bad it was.
You remember what happened to our neighbor who I worked with that forgot to fill up the Pepsi in the vending machine? This one's a lot worse.
Yeah, he is now a human Pez dispenser.
If you think your boss is, a little tense, you have nothing on this guy.
That's awesome.
Imagine working for that.
Whenever I see that video, I always think to myself, I'm like, because you see the guy like with the carpet, you're just like, man, that guy is fucked, you know? Yeah. And like,
I do have to say something. I know this is not a political show or anything, but when Donald Trump went in yesterday to get his mugshot and stuff done, and they let him write his own stats, and he wrote 6'4", 215 pounds. Trey Lance.
I think it was, dude? I was on like the treadmill at like, I don't know what it was, ESPN or something, but they showed a list of other athletes that are the same stats of 6'4", 215. It was Muhammad Ali in his prime at 29 years old. It was, like one football player, like just so many like athletes.
It's fucking hysterical.
Those dimensions. I mean, that's, people don't realize, like, because most people are not 6'4". To be that lean, that's crazy. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, those are ridiculous stats. Yeah. Now, I'm just wondering if the guy is three bills. There's way he's under 270 if I just gauge him with my eyes.
And for
he's not a short guy. He's like probably 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's like
6'2". I don't think he's that. Yeah.
He's a big dude.
But he's got to be heavy, dude. Imagine putting that guy on his shoulder. He's a big tub of lard.
Every time I do a chicken fight in the pool with Donald Trump, I'm on his shoulders. I never put him on mine. Never.
Just flip the other way.
Chicken fight.
You got to think of your back.
He also said
it's not political. You got to think about
it. He said his hair color was strawberry blonde.
Hey, look, whatever. That one I totally don't see a problem with. People dye their hair all the time. My color could be whatever I want. By the time I leave, it could be strawberry blonde. But that's such a pretty little name, like he gave it, you know? I was kind of a strawberry blonde. It sounds like, you know what it was? It was probably, he didn't write it. He doesn't fill out papers.
No.
He had some aide fill it out for him. And his aide's like in love with him. He looks up at him slowly, like he's just kind of a strawberry blonde, you know.
I like that.
That's what
go
happened.
With that.
Yeah. No, I think that was totally him. I think so. Oh yeah, absolutely. The hair color? Well, strawberry blonde. Oh, of course, strawberry blonde. Sorry. Well, only because fucking orange wasn't an option.
Yeah.
All right, let's get off of that. Tone, you got some news?
Oh,
you guys want to do some news today?
Some news.
Oh yeah,
Tony's got news.
What's new in the world of news?
Coming to you live from the Uncle Puckers news desk in a basement somewhere in Lithuania. Sports, politics, current events, and entertainment. It's the news of the day with Tony A.
All right. Hey, Tony, before you begin, I just realized we should cool it on the Putin stuff. Tony is so close.
He's he too right. close.
Tony, I'm just thinking it's such a pain in the ass.
This is not but Tony.
If I was I'm just putting this out there, guys. If I was Vladimir Putin and I was angry at the show, Tony is so much closer than us.
Yeah.
Okay?
I agree.
Not to put a little buffer between me and Vladimir Putin, Tony. I'm just throwing that out.
But you're the buffer between us and Vladimir Putin.
It's like you kind of trip your friend when the bear starts chasing you guys. Right.
I don't have to be the fastest one. I just have to be faster than you.
We were driving to Poland, and my wife's like, don't turn right because Russia's right around there. I said, man, you know, that's a pretty good
I've made a wrong turn into a bad neighborhood before, but never worried about, oh, my God, I'm in Russia. That would suck, dude. You go on some crazy family trips.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you do.
That's like that's a Griswold.
Okay, you guys want to start with some news here?
Yeah, let's do some news. That'd be fun.
First, let's start with some sports news, right? First of all, Bobby, congrats, right? Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry getting their numbers retired. Yeah. Not Vince Coleman, you know, for throwing, remember he was throwing like M80s at
fans. Daryl Strawberry Blonde.
Daryl Strawberry Blonde. But how do you feel about that, B?
This is well-deserved. I mean, you know, for the Mets, you know, not for all time. It's
how
not,
much
you know,
coke is going to be at that ceremony?
You know, that's the thing. So it's funny because
it's going to come down snowing.
These were my two favorite players. These were the two guys that I idolized. I wanted to be the guy who's like Shohei Ohtani now. I was like, why can't I pitch like Dwight Gooden and hit like Daryl Strawberry? Sure. I took Daryl Strawberry's batting stance and everything. That's how I wanted to swing.
You took his hairstyle. Variety.
I took his hairstyle. His deep voice. I did everything. Like I love these
sense
two guys.
Of smell. You smelled.
And then, of course, Howard Johnson. So that at least gave me some
Hojo.
Little bit of
sadness. Yeah, you were a big Hojo fan.
I was a big Hojo fan, which is really good because my other two heroes turned out to be totally hooked on cocaine and stuff. So I had to have somebody that was a little more straight out.
And but the other one's got his names on just shitty motels throughout the country.
Right? I think he's trying to sell those, Chris. Just,
not the one down the road for me. It's still a Hojo.
Yeah, it's just though those two guys were absolutely fantastic for the Mets. They're great athletes. They had long careers too that a lot of people don't realize. Some you know in and out of the teams, but yeah, I'm happy for them. Childhood heroes until I got old enough to realize they were not my heroes.
Well, I mean, you could
was
respect
the craziest one, right? Dykstra was fucking nuts. That guy.
Yeah, Lenny Dykstra's still nuts.
Yeah, he's still nuts. I mean, but Nails was. I love Nails back in the day, of course.
Oh yeah,
Whatchamacallit, Doc Gooden, he never pitched a perfect game for the Mets, did he?
No, for you.
No, yeah, not for
the Yankees.
Mets.
Yeah, they good. When you put the knife in, you have to twist, Chris. You can't, like, just put it in.
I think he had you on that.
I think I did.
I don't think
he realized that he was fucking with you at first. You were giving an honest answer, and that was very sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good for those guys, man. Yeah. And they should have their number retired together because they are synonymous with, you know, the 86 and cocaine. And yeah,
that 86 team, you know, in 87 was still a great team that came up short. 88, they were still good. I mean, everybody knows that team probably should have at least won another championship somewhere in those few years. So they shit the bed in that way. But when you look at some of the core guys on that team, like Hernandez and Gary Carter and those two, you know, and Ron Darling. It makes sense to put him up there, yeah.
Nice. What else you got, T?
Auston Matthews, 4 years, $13.25 million contract with Toronto. Not surprising, right?
Highest paid guy in the NHL now, right? AAV, he's the highest AAV.
Yep, he went to the top.
Let's talk about that for a second, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy is one of the best players in the NHL. There's no doubt about it, right?
Yes.
Now, that kind of money, that's like something south of that, and you got another $4 million player. So it's difficult when you get up there and you're like, think about Jack in 8 years, if he's projecting the way he's projecting. I mean, he's not doing another eight-year, $8 million contract either.
Oh, yeah. No,
we don't know what the cap's going to be then and all that, but
you might need to be very close to, you know, to Auston Matthews' money to keep Hughes. And that's going to be a problem, right?
But, well,
you know,
I mean,
what direction do you take?
The cap's going to be going up, and by the time that Hughes' contract is up, that cap should be up considerable.
If he performs like this, you can adjust for the cap then. You can adjust for inflation. Look, it doesn't matter.
Jack Hughes' second contract is going to be fucking huge. That dude's going to get the bag.
I'm comfortable with our new owners because to keep – I don't care what the cap is. You got to keep up with that with your marketing and with sales and with getting people in the building and all that sort of thing, which we didn't always have the best track record of doing. Right. We're certainly a lot better now, but I'm an older Devils fan, and I still have all those memories of, you know, winning the cup and almost moving to Nashville and all the stuff about not being sold out and them not having money. So it's one thing to say, yeah, the cap's going up. But if the cap's $90 million, you
well, here's
make
a good,
up for that.
Here's a comforting thing, though, Bob. I will tell you that I'm not saying anything bad about Austin Matthews, but I wonder at some point when you're the player, if you worry about, am I going to have a good quality team to play on if I get too much of the cap? Because you know, at some point, you could have had better players around me, you know, if my salary was lower, if you start into those numbers where you're like, you said, a pretty good player is maybe the difference between your, you know, a good, you know, and what you're getting paid. You're getting paid like, you know, 50% more than really good players, you know,
some of the elite players. Yeah.
So when you do that math, you're like, oh, and I think Jack Hughes is one of those guys that would probably end up being, you know, taking a little bit less, even at his next contract. We'll see, because it's a long time from now, but where he's at. But if I could see, like, he's a team guy and he wants to win, maybe after all the winning's done, it's time to cash out.
You need multiple people to do that, because a little bit less could be $13 million over $14. So you need other guys to jump in that, too. This guy takes $500,000 less. This guy takes $750,000 less. So you can field, you know, a full team.
So do you guys – are you guys saying that if you were Toronto, you wouldn't have given Austin Matthews this contract?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think I understand why you have to give this contract to him.
And that's not even like talking about the marketing. The just like, how do you let him go as a player, right?
You can't. But a team like them that's already up against the cap, like, you literally just – you know, the difference between his last salary and this is like a $4 million player, which is a great player. That's
but
not
they
just
also
a fourth-line filling guy.
That new contract doesn't kick in until next year. So you still got him on the lower AAV for this season. And then next year you got to rework. But, I mean, the guy scored 60 goals 2 years ago. He had a little bit of an off year last year. But, you know, he's Austin Matthews. I think over the next, 10 years, the two guys that are going to be fighting over who's the best American player is going to be Hughes and Matthews.
Who did he beat that had the highest contract until was it Nate McKinnon?
He did just beat McKinnon
and McDavid.
So
McKinnon's 12.6 was McKinnon. Matthews is what, 13.25 now?
Yeah.
Him is McDavid at 12.5, and then Panarin.
And I think they have like 2 years.
Which one of those stands out to you?
Panarin. I mean, but you got two more years left on Connor McDavid's contract out in Edmonton. What's that dude going to ask for?
Especially where the salary cap's going. That's
I mean, he's going to be a 15, maybe 16 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, and any team, all 32 teams would fucking pay it gladly.
Please take my money, please.
Yeah.
These guys get the top contracts. I mean, one way to look at it is like, oh, they're getting the biggest money because they are the biggest names. But also, I wonder what it's like to be in their shoes, because you got to factor like But I mean, how much do they want to win? You know, would they go to a place for less, knowing that this team just can't pay me the same? And just take the lower contract? I mean, how many of them actually end up doing that? That's interesting.
For guys like we're talking about McKinnon, let's say Matthews and McDavid, all three of them are on teams right now that could considerably – that are Stanley Cup favorites. Any one of those teams can go out and win it. So for them, this is a perfect opportunity. But let's say in 4 years' time – Austin Matthews will be, what, like 30 years old in 4 years' time?
And worked out.
If Toronto doesn't win the cup,
they're going to crack. Yeah.
I mean, at that point, maybe a guy like Austin Matthews is like, you know what? I've done it all. I've made all the money. I've broken records. I've been nothing but the consummate team player for this franchise for 12 years, but I really want to win a cup. Maybe he goes somewhere.
I wonder how hard it is to put a number on that too, because we're talking about like maybe a couple million dollars. You know,
well, you want to put a number on it?
I'm just saying, like Bob was saying, we can't be competitive paying $14 million out a year.
After he's cleared to play again, wherever Patrick Kane signs, that's the number. He's yeah, that guy, sure, right? I mean, sure, he's that absolutely guy. So now if he wants to go and play for a Stanley Cup, he's going to take, you know, huge pay decrease. So it's going to be interesting. But, you know, good for Matthews. He got paid. That's awesome. And, yeah, you know, yeah, he's
just
a hell of a
allow
player
yourself this one visual. McDavid on the Devils pushing Heischer down to the third line. I mean, oh my God, that center depth would be so insane. And Heischer to third line would actually work out really well. He's so defensive, and he's got hands. Like, that would
well,
be
Fitzgerald's
beautiful.
Really, really good, Bob. He's
not
really
that
good.
Good.
I don't think anybody's that good.
No,
I don't think
I don't know, man. You got Taylor Hall
now
for Larson. You know, yeah, maybe you get McDavid for Siegenthaler.
Well, anything is possible, and that, you know, that would be crazy, wouldn't it?
So before we move on from that contract here, we just got to give a little shout out to Hooked on Hockey magazine, who tweeted out breaking news. Austin Matthews has agreed to terms on a contract extension to not win the Stanley Cup for another 4 years.
Wow.
Very good. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Next, Lafreniere to the Rangers for 2 more years, 4.65 mil, with 2.3 will go against the salary cap.
So he's got 2.3 a year for 2 years. Let's dive a little into the Alexi Lafreniere deal. I kind of feel bad for this dude.
Okay.
And the only reason, like, he's a number one pick, he should be a lot, but he gets drafted by a team where he plays left wing, and where you got Kreider and Panarin on your first and second line playing left. This guy's getting no opportunity. You know, he's right, relegated to third line left winger. And I think, you know, he came out when he was coming out, man, he had a ton of hype around him.
They've both been turned really critical of him in New York these days.
Yeah,
like the media and the broadcasting. I noticed that they're way more critical of him of late. Like
I don't
year
know if I would shit all over Lafreniere more so than, you know, the coaches that were kind of, you know, saying, oh, play right wing. Like Gerard Gallant did, you know, a couple times that didn't work out and stuff. Like, I see a guy like Lafreniere, if he doesn't hit this year, and I mean, like, I'm not even saying fucking put up huge numbers, but you got to at least get 20, 25 goals.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do that, he's out of there. And I think he's the type of dude that will go somewhere else and they'll put him on a first or second line and he'll have a good career.
Yeah, but, you know, it's so easy sometimes on the wings where you could say, hey, you put him on the other wing. You know, not every player is capable of doing that. You're talking about people who have played their whole lives with one set of, you know, rushes and all that they're doing or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's
your
not
fundamentals.
Some guys,
are,
Timo Meier can do it. You know, he's good on the off wing.
Yeah, not everybody can do it. Do some of them are like, you know, very narrow specialists, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's really what they do, and it's they do it better than most of the world. But
and there is something to being blocked. And like I said, this is not about Holt, but again, he's never been given a front two line responsibility either. He can find himself in a similar track here.
Yeah.
If he even makes a team on the third
to
line
some
this
extent,
year
yeah,
and produces like Lafreniere, which is below expectations, then you're talking about bridging this guy too. I mean, where do you go?
Kind of reminds me of the Pavel Zacha situation too.
Yeah.
But I mean, Zacha had more of a center stage though. We put him on the first and second line. He wasn't getting time. That's a little different.
Yeah, he got a lot of time. He just didn't make the most of his opportunity. And I think all those people last year that were tweeting out, hey, Devil fans,
they fleeced us.
How's that Zacha trade looking now when Holla was hitting posts and shit?
Right.
Let's talk around Christmas time, and you guys can tell us how Zaka's doing for you.
Your Boston accent sounds a little bit like your Brooklyn accent, I'm just going
to
tell you.
I wasn't supposed to be a Boston accent.
Oh, okay. I thought that
Bobby,
was supposed to
be
a Boston accent.
Bobby, you got to be able to do a good Boston accent, right?
No, yeah. I can't.
Come on.
Anytime I do douchebag, I just go to New York. I just go to New York. It's like, so that's
That's what you were doing. You were doing douchebag, and I'm like, hey, he must be doing.
It's either one or
New
the
York
other, right?
Right.
It's Boston or New York.
Yeah.
Good for Lafreniere. And, you know, he made a few bucks. It's $2.5 million a year or whatever, a little less than that. But, you know, I do hope he can turn it around just somewhere else.
If I'm the Rangers, I find a spot for Panarin and move him up and give him a legit shot.
Yeah.
Panarin should be able to handle that as a veteran. He's getting a ton of money. Do whatever the team thinks you need to do to actually win. Even if you're playing on the third line, if you're still capable of scoring 30, 40 goals, do it on the third line.
If the Rangers end up completely shitting the bed this year, I don't think they will. But if by some reason they aren't and they turn into some sellers, well, then Lafreniere maybe will get his chance on the second line or the first line if they start saying, we got to start moving some of these big contracts. I mean, I don't think this year they would do that because I do think their window is a couple of years. But, yeah, I mean, Panarin, sure, if they don't do it in a couple of years, you're going to hear Panarin rumblings on the trade market, Kreider rumblings on the trade market, just because they got to go somewhere.
Definitely with a team like New York where retaining some salary is not even an issue. It's, right, it's not even a problem.
Yeah.
You know, where other teams, that's an issue.
No, well, yeah. And then next we're going to go to Jonathan Bernier, you know, Quebec native. He was the stand-up butterfly goalie who I really was kind of bummed out to see him get injured like he did, because I really think he could have been a decent goalie for the Devils, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He retired after he only played 10 games with New Jersey. He retired this week, you know, and like I said, he was a 2006 first-round draft pick and
yeah,
for the Kings. I don't know. Like, he was a guy
I guess it was a pretty bad injury, I guess, because he's still fairly young, and I don't know what it was he didn't come back from.
Hip injury, yeah.
Hip for the goaltender, that's bad combo.
Yeah, sure is. I got to go for a surgery.
Jonathan Bernier, man, what could have been?
Did you know? I don't know if you ever saw this. My daughter was showing me. There's a Jonathan Bernier quote of him. He was being asked, you know, to talk about Nelson Mandela at some kind of big event. Everybody's wearing suits and ties. I don't know what the hell it was. I don't know the context. But he starts talking about, like, oh, what he did for his sport, and he was a great athlete. And I lost my shit. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. And then if you watch – I got to find this video for you. But when you watch this video, it gets better because you realize that all the media standing around him have just found – oh, I got five follow-up questions to mess with this guy.
Right.
Nobody lets him off the hook. Like, excuse me, you mean, you know, like they don't. So they're like, so what do you think? They try to ask him additional questions, just trying to get him to say more and more about Nelson Mandela's athletic
career. Do you think Nelson Mandela was a better player than Adolf Hitler?
Exactly. Like, oh, most definitely. He meant so much, and what he's done in leadership is just great. So, yeah. And the amount of.
Oh, poor Jonathan Bernier.
Yeah, it was great because, you know, imagine like being that young and there's people like always asking these stupid questions. Like, I don't know, I just showed up here because I have a, you know,
I was coach told to,
teammate.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, I'm a young kid.
I gotta check that out.
It's good. It's good. Look it up.
I will. But Jonathan Bernier, thank you for what could have been.
The laughs. Thank you for the laughs. Yep.
There we go.
Four wins, four losses. 10 games.
And that story is just great. I love that story.
I got to look that up.
Yeah.
Talking about stories, here we go. This is some interesting ones. Okay, this is off the sport. This was about some people who took a photo, hoisted up a dolphin from the water in Florida. About a couple hours later, the dolphin was found dead floating around. Experts say that when you remove a dolphin from the water, the results, basically they're crushed, their lungs from this. So the people put a picture of themselves with the dolphin on Instagram, I guess.
Oh, like and, holding it in their arms?
Holding it in it in their arms.
Yeah, you can't take a dolphin out of water. Everybody knows that. That's like me taking you and putting you on like Jupiter's gravity and expecting your bones to hold you up. They can't do it. They need a little buoyancy. It's a dolphin.
I didn't know this. I would have thought they could hold their breath for at least a couple seconds. I mean,
Bob, thank God you never took one out of the water.
Yeah, well, I don't plan on it.
Not holding their breath. You got to figure when you pick them up or and not now breathing. Their lungs collapse.
I'm so glad you've never had the opportunity.
If you throw me in a
Bob.
Pool. If you throw me in a pool, I'm going to not breathe for a second, and then I'm going to get up.
It's not about the air, Bob. That's not what we're talking about.
And this is what I'm saying. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Who's going to walk down the beach with their wife or their friend and be like, hey, man,
ooh, I know.
Dolphin. Let's take a fucking picture and put it on Instagram.
I know who would do that. People that live in Florida.
Oh, that's true.
That is
the answer.
Did you guys?
I'm just surprised I wasn't like also eating an alligator at
the
same time.
Did you guys ever play?
Something happens when you live in Florida.
Did you guys ever play Florida Man? Did you ever play that?
Just with my kids, you know, my son, I think has maybe the same app or whatever it is.
Oh, I just Google
website.
It. Like,
yeah. And you go there and they
give me a random like date.
A date. Yeah. We were doing
just
birth dates and stuff.
Yeah. Give me one.
Well, when is, what's the date the Devils start the season? Use that.
October 12th.
All right.
There you go.
So I type in Florida Man, October 12th. That's all I Google. And let's see what comes up. Naked Florida man with crossbow who claimed aliens were after him, shot by Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
This is perfect.
This day in history.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Florida man
arrested for having a 9-year-old drive him.
It wasn't a single. It wasn't
home.
A single. Yeah.
I love it.
Like there was multiple stories that day. It's like that crazy story. There was multiple crazy stories that day
any
for
day,
October 12th.
Any day.
Yeah.
Let's do May 4th.
Here, Chris, it's Google Blue Waffles.
May 4th. This was kind of a Florida man charged with battery after slapping girlfriend. Florida,
it's not as fun. That
Florida
one,
man
not as much
arrested.
Fun.
All right, wait. Florida man arrested after NSP troopers find over 400 pounds of marijuana hidden inside ATMs.
And that's why I'm in Lithuania now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tony is Florida man.
I like the Florida man's that involve like all these like disparate ingredients you never thought you'd see in a store, like, a store, one story together.
Like aliens and yes, whatever just, the hell that was.
And then like, you know, baking a cake, you know, it sells crocodile, you know, a fire extinguisher. And like, it's like, what is this? Like, it's like so, jumble, word jumble.
What happened to the guys with the dolphin?
Well, they're actually pressing charges against them.
The dolphin is?
As they should.
I would.
The dolphin,
but he was dead.
The dolphin
I'm so
is,
pissed right now.
The dolphin has died.
The dolphin has died.
But yeah, so they are trying to press charges against them. I guess they have Instagram photos and all that stuff that people placed, you know. So it's just.
So the dolphin's pressing charges against them.
Okay, so lesson learned. Don't pick up the dolphins.
Don't pick up the dolphin. Leave them.
There is a
moral
to the story.
We've had a funny dolphin story.
I like that story. Yeah, it was a good one.
There's actually a federal law against, you know, a mammal protection act to interfere with dolphins, even if they're dead. Even if they're dead, you can't do anything with them. So you know.
You sound like that part is not like going too far. Like you're a little upset by this.
I feel like
you want to pick up a dead dolphin.
It's I feel like they have more rights than I do.
Always
I
trying to get me to stop playing with dead animals.
Why do you think I killed him? I want to play with him. Tony's over there, like, killing dolphins.
Children shouldn't play with dead things, Tony.
I killed him expressly to play with this dolphin. Now you're telling me that I can't lift him up?
It's already dead.
The government has gone too far.
So we're going to stay in Florida for the next one.
Nice.
A restaurant called Papa V's. There was a group of people that came in late at this restaurant, and one of the women, I guess, went into the bathroom and clogged up the toilet on purpose with a bunch of toilet paper and stuff. And
oh, no.
And then when they asked the lady to leave, the five women at the table got up and basically punched the waitress in the face, and they all beat the shit out of her.
That's a good way to leave. But yeah. That was the tip.
Yeah, so that was, you know.
Synchronized punching down in Florida.
What the hell is wrong with these fucking people?
It's the Florida. They can't help it. They go down there and they just get it.
Some people are upset when the waitress gets like a really crummy message on a receipt as a tip.
Yeah.
You know, to like, you know, here's what I think of you, lady. And then they like post these things like, hey, these people are so mean out there. You know?
But they were good tippers.
At least they didn't batter the waitress.
They beat the shit out of her, but they left her a nice tip.
They handed her a dead dolphin.
25% and a dead dolphin.
Here's Flipper. Yeah.
And then you're the last one holding the dolphin.
It's on you it's now,
like,
bitch.
It's like musical chairs. It's like, oh, shit.
And I guess they say when the woman was, when they were beating the waitress, as the other restaurant workers went to help her, they picked up salt shakers and started pelting the other workers with salt shakers. Longwood, Florida. God. You know, this is a.
Those stories always have these little details, too.
It's
like,
so great.
I feel like it was a national news outlet. They would say, like, people started, you know, throwing things around the restaurant. They might, you know.
Right.
But that's very specific.
Salt
shakers.
And pepper.
Salt and pepper. Shakers, yeah.
And I got one more story before we get to something that's more close to Chris's heart.
Yeah.
I think I know where you're going with these.
One more. Here we go.
Okay. I got one more before this, though.
Okay.
Cody Larson, a 24-year-old in Riverdale, New Jersey, was reported snorting heroin in the Walmart parking lot. After the police confronted him, they began to search his car. He began to vomit up 14 bags of heroin.
Believe
14 bags. He's up on several charges, including tampering with evidence and expired license.
Having the 14 bags would be in there, but they're like, no, you concealed some evidence. We'll get to that later.
Right.
We're not even going to charge you with that yet.
But just move your vomit and heroin to the side. You have an expired license. Do you
right.
realize
yeah.
that you're
some
driving on a suspended
books?
List? Right, exactly. 14 bags.
We're going to start and work our way up. Overdue books all the way until probably murder or something.
There was a Canadian woman who had swallowed 51 heroin-filled condoms. And basically she almost died. They had to bring her for medical attention in Canada.
Sure.
So he didn't – you know, it's been a little more extreme than that. But, so – that's in Riverdale.
But you just imagine the cop and sitting there, and you go to the car, and just starts vomiting up bags of heroin right there in front of you. Oh, there's 8, 9, 10. Holy shit, 14 fucking bags.
But does it surprise you it's Walmart's involved? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
no, being... no, it's not. Well, I don't know if Walmart's involved. I don't think he bought the heroin there.
Or yeah. Or Walmart.
Everybody looks down on these mule people. Everybody looks down on them like, you know, the awful scumbags doing this. But you, I think you have to have a little bit of bravery to do that.
Oh, you have to have a lot of bravery.
I'm going
to
tell you something. Like, these people are, they have, yeah, they're like, it. I think a lot of people look down on them as like these passive criminals. You know, they're not scared of them like bank robbers. But think about how crazy you are to put 51 bags. Each bag would instantly kill you.
Yeah.
You know, in floating through your body for how long, you know? Then, those people are the real heroes is what I'm trying to say. Now, I don't know about that. That might be going too far to call them heroes, but they definitely have some break.
The hero is the one that goes through the shit to pull out all the bags.
I think the hero is the condom. It keeps the person alive.
This is true.
Could be a good Trojan commercial, maybe for.
Yeah, there you go.
For a change, we actually help people live. We're trying to avoid that.
See if we get him as a sponsor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sometimes our products
to protect
do result.
Your cocaine.
I know we told you our products never result in an unexpected life, but this time they did.
The next story is we're going taking a trip back to the land of make-believe. And Chris, I know you know this, WWE icon Terry Funk, who I even remember, passed away at the age of 79. He had a 50-year career. I think he was involved with the WWE, the WCW. He's from Japan League. His father was a wrestler.
ECW. Terry Funk is a fucking legend. And if anybody who is a little bit younger and is into professional wrestling and they don't know Terry Funk, I highly recommend that you go and watch some old tape of Terry Funk. This guy and what he put his body through for professional wrestling. I mean, there would be no Mankind, no Mick Foley if it wasn't for Terry Funk. What this guy
I wonder
did,
if that's why Hulk Hogan never went by Terry. Is because it's like, you can't do that. That guy is like such an icon before Hogan.
I wonder if there was anything with that. Because when, you know, Steve Austin, Stone Cold, his real name is Steve Williams. But there was Dr. Death Steve Williams. So he changed it to Steve Austin. So maybe.
You know, especially if it's a weird name, you get the like Elvis Costello effect.
But, Terry Funk was awesome. And I mean, Terry Funk probably should have died about 20 years ago with what that man did to his body. Like I saw a documentary.
His father and brother were wrestlers, Chris?
Yeah, his brother was a wrestler. I don't really remember his father, but Dory Funk was his brother. Still,
and there's no sport in the world or, you know, I would say job in the world either, whatever you want to call it. That is good. It'd be so bad for your health. Those jobs have all been deregulated out of existence by OSHA into something else. You'd have to go back to the 20s and how dangerous the average job was before. It was more dangerous than being a professional wrestler, especially in that era, right?
Terry Funk.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Terry Funk and Mick Foley in Japan had barbed wire matches. So instead of being ropes on the ring, there was barbed wire. They had like explosives in the barbed wire. Shit would blow up on them. They would burn. Like Mick Foley had half of his ear ripped off in one of these matches. The shit that Funk did to his body for professional wrestling.
They were also creative too with all that stuff too. Like, you know, like those guys must have been like
to come up with those matches. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like they were almost like evil geniuses coming up with weird ways. Like how much can we torture? Can we give each other and actually put a show on?
You're right.
Like nobody really, you know. Like that's very interesting. Those early days of pro wrestling,
and that's what they did. They did it for the fans. And Terry Funk is a legend, and he should be remembered for that. And like I said, check out old Terry Funk video for anybody that's not familiar with him. But I know where you're going with the next story, and this one is
another
a little bit heartbreaking.
Right? Now, I'll be honest, I do not know this guy, but I do know he was 36. Is it Bray Wyatt?
It's Bray Wyatt.
Wyndham Rotunda was his real name.
Wyndham Rotunda.
Wyndham, yes. I have no idea who this guy is, but I have seen his pictures, I believe. The time he was with WWE, he was a champion there 2 times. And, yeah, his father was a wrestler also, Barry Wyndham, who I do remember Barry Wyndham from the 80s and 90s.
Do you remember IRS back in the 80s? Yeah, Barry Wyndham was his uncle. You guys remember IRS, Irwin R. Scheister? He was a pro wrestler.
Vaguely.
Well, that was his old man. his brother, Bo Dallas, also wrestles. But Bray Wyatt started in NXT, which was kind of the minor league of WWE at the time, as Husky Harris, you know, just a big dude that he was okay. But then he went to NXT, and not since The Undertaker, in the whenever The Undertaker came in, the late 80s, early 90s, has somebody been so creative with their character. He started, when he came to NXT, he was Bray Wyatt, and he had the Wyatt family, which he had two guys with him, two huge dudes, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. And Luke Harper actually died about 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. But Bray Wyatt, and it was kind of like a sadistic cult leader. And that was, and he played it to perfection. He changed his character a couple of times in WWE. He became, started hosting his Firefly Funhouse, which was this little vignette that they would do, which was basically Pee-wee's Playhouse mixed with, like, I don't know, Charles Manson family shit. Like, he was just sadistic. And it was really cool. Like, he had these demented puppets and all this.
He was like the Rob Zombie of a wrestling.
Yeah, I can see
that. That was his gimmick, you know?
Yeah, but he was fantastic and a very good wrestler. For a big dude, he can move. Main evented WrestleManias, fought Cena and Orton and Reigns, and had just 36 years old. He left WWE. He was cut by them during COVID just because of some, you know, financial things. They brought him back. I think it was Survivor Series last year or one of the pay-per-views.
And he left in February, they said, right?
In February, he left for an undisclosed illness. And they were expecting him back. And then the news came out yesterday that he died, and it was a heart attack. And it's a shame because he had a couple of kids.
Such a young guy. People, unfortunately, think, like, what happened to him? His substances, what was it?
I was thinking...
I don't know.
I was thinking at first that it was, like, because they said undisclosed illness, and I kept thinking, maybe depression, maybe this was suicide. I don't know.
Oh, there's so many things, too, especially with that kind of work. You could see how depression, suicide, or heart attack at a really young age is all possible. They do so much physically, and a lot of them, too, also suffer mentally. That's been something that's really noticeable. Sometimes those go hand in hand. Guys with severe concussions, like the Muhammad Ali story and everything else, they will mess with...
Chris Benoit,
mess with your emotions, too.
And Eddie Guerrero, I mean, he died around the same age of a heart attack. But Bray Wyatt, that's sad, man. He had a really long, good career ahead of him, and it sucks at 36 that he's no longer going to be in WWE or at all wrestling. So,
You mentioned Eddie Guerrero.
R.I.P., Bray. Yeah.
You mentioned Eddie Guerrero. So I was in, I don't know what year it was a while back when he was still with us. I was in the airport in Tampa. One of my friends knew who he was. I didn't even know who he was. Met up, went to him, got a picture and stuff. I tell you, man, you could just, this guy was so, I think he was in so much pain. Just, you could just tell by the way he walked.
He had it bad.
I hate to say a lot of painkillers. I don't know, but you could just tell the dude was kind of shot. I remember that about him. That's what Eddie, I kind of remember.
Eddie was kind of known, especially in that time in WWE, of having some, you know, some demons, some substance issues and stuff. And it ended up getting the best of him. But, you know, I don't know what happened with Bray, if that was at all involved, but it's sad, man. He was awesome.
Yeah, so, and I got one more thing for you guys. I know it's getting late, but I don't know if you guys saw this. I was just actually talking this on another show, but Cardi B, did you guys see she was doing this performance, right? And I actually don't know any music from her, but I know who she is. She was doing a performance, and I guess she got pissed at a fan and threw her microphone.
Yeah,
now, I did see that. Yeah, I don't think you can escape that. That was pushed so hard. Like, why is this news?
But why did no one care that when her microphone was flying through the air, this chick is still singing? Because it's all fucking fake backing tracks.
Do you think anybody cares about that anymore?
Do you guys care? I really care about it. And I'm a Kiss fan, and I know there's some tracks going on there. I don't think
a lot of fans do, unless they're into certain genres of music. But like a lot of pop stuff in general, I think people have accepted a certain amount of that. I don't even know. Let's say if you ask like a Taylor Swift fan, the average one, do they put it as a point of pride that she does or doesn't? I don't even know.
I don't think Taylor does.
Go there for loud music and dancing?
I wonder. Just
put the speakers on, right?
I know it's it you and I come from. Man. Yeah, I could see how we all agree I hate it, but I wonder if a lot of people don't even care anymore, you know, the way they just, they're kind of. I see a lot of kids today, like,
Millie Vanilli,
like,
feels vindicated right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter is a huge Taylor Swift fan and huge music fan. She goes to concerts constantly. I will ask her how she feels about it.
You know what? I want to ask my kids too. I feel like they're a little bit less attached to that as like a standard of what's real and what's a good show and what's fair. you know?
Yeah.
They kind of like, yeah, whatever.
It also goes to the fact that when we were kids, if you had a band that a member died or left, it was a big deal. Now this guy's replaced in like 3 days. Nobody really cares as much. And I get it. It's just the way it is now. Like, attention span is like, they say, if you put out a record, the shelf life is 2 weeks, you know, unless you're Taylor Swift, because my daughter even likes Taylor Swift.
I can't even fathom all the changes of the music industry. It's been so crazy. I mean, it's such a huge topic.
It's like when Stone Temple Pilots came back out with Scott Weiland. It's like, you're not Stone Temple Pilots. That's just a couple guys. You know, playing the same it's almost like you're doing the monkeys
or something, you know. It's like somebody made up.
We still care about that stuff, but I don't think people now do.
I mean, I love being able to just go onto an app and listen to any song from any album from any band. I love that, but I really miss the record stores and going shopping there. I mean, I would spend hours in a record store.
We still buy a certain amount of records a year.
It's
stupid, but it's like, cool. You know, we never bother buying cassettes because that art was small. I mean, I collected more cassettes and CDs than I ever did records. But
Payday Friday.
It's not really nostalgia. It's about the art size and stuff.
When I was in my 20s, every Friday.
Every payday.
I would buy a new CD.
Sam Goody or whatever.
I'd go to Blockbuster or whatever and buy a new CD just to, you know, to have some new music to listen to. And
absolutely. For a few years there as a kid, you did that like as your job. Like, I'm constantly into music.
It was a collection,
all the time.
Too. I mean, there was pride in that.
And if I couldn't buy it, I would borrow it.
I used to work at a balloon stand over on Seaside when I was really young. And I tell you, man, I would go up to the Union Jacks and I would just try to win tapes. The problem now is that for me, especially because I do always try to, if I really like a band, I try to buy the vinyl or something, you know, to support the band or whatever, because I'm a musician.
I buy a lot. Yeah.
But the problem is now is that same record that was like $20 is now like $50.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
records is not like a viable thing as a fan. Like, I'm going to go to all records. First of all, before we get into the fact that I don't want to be around a record player nor to listen to music all the time. I'm not even talking about that. Like the cost of it now is definitely disproportional.
It's novelty.
And there's no way it's a novelty. Yeah. That's why I said, we buy like a certain amount of records. It's not a lot.
Well,
obviously,
remember,
most of the new stuff you listen to is on.
How many times, Chris or Dan or Bob, did you guys read liner notes when you would buy an album?
If I got a new CD, I would sit in my room, put the CD in, open up the liner notes, read all the lyrics, listen to the whole thing. I mean, I loved it. What are you laughing at, Bob?
Every show, like.
It's the way I'm sitting, isn't it?
Dan gets so comfortable.
He just sinks down.
At that point, all I see is his forehead.
I'm like disappearing
it's like,
into the
like,
corner.
Sit up, man. We got Jimmy Dow coming on in a couple of days, dude.
Oh, no,
straight.
I'm not gonna put a smile. Jim, I want
you to talk. Got a head flapping Canadian or what?
Tiny head in the corner of your screen.
Dan shows up in a bathrobe.
There are eyes.
So, Jim, I got my feet up.
Dan has a 60-minute cap. We got to cut this off at 60 minutes or
he falls down his chair.
He
disappears. All right. On that note, we're going to wrap it up for tonight. So, guys, thank you so much for checking us out. Be sure to check us out on the Hockey Podcast Network or anywhere that you get your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a good review. It goes a long way to help us promote the podcast. For Dan, Tony, Bobby, I'm
download,
Chris.
Don't stream.
Yes, download, don't stream. It goes a very long way to promote our podcast and move this thing forward. So we appreciate all of our
listeners. Plus you save your data if you don't stream.
Yeah, that's true. And don't forget, bonus. Any questions for Jimmy Dowd, send them to UnclePuckers@gmail.com. We will have that show out sometime next week. And we're the Uncle Puckers, and we will see you when we see you.
Hey, if anybody wants Chris to do reads for them, just give him an email. He'll do them for free.
That's
he is
right.
The man. Peace.
Wrong one.
No, the
Let's
egg.
Start over.
Yeah, another 90. Yeah. Here we come.
Do we have the closer?
It's like behind the scenes footage.
We could just end this.
Puckers out.
Peace.
That's it. Puckers out.
Puckers out.